Chapter 21. Boston, Fall 1997. By the time Terry arrived in Vegas that Sunday afternoon, Kevin was back in Boston, licking his wounds. He had finally calmed down by the fourth hour of the early morning flight, with help from Martinez and Fisher, who had a less frantic take on the situation. Certainly something had changed that weekend in Vegas. At least a handful of the casinos were passing around pictures of them, perhaps through a PI firm such as Plymouth, and a couple of their aliases had been compromised. But the team itself still seemed undetected. None of the spotters had been rousted, and Fisher hadn't met with any trouble. Even after Kevin had been kicked out of the Rio, Martinez had managed to play a few more hands before walking out on his own volition. There was no reason to panic. They just needed to be more careful and more prepared. They would no longer stay in the hotel where they gambled. It was too dangerous returning to their rooms to retrieve their bags, and after what had happened to Martinez, nobody felt safe sleeping in the same place they plied their trade. They would also keep a better lookout for approaching pit bosses and casino personnel, usually identifiable by their suits and name tags, so that the BPs could get moving before the confrontation took place. Kevin wanted to avoid Vegas altogether, at least for the next few months, even though he realized in retrospect that he'd probably been in less danger than he had thought. The race through the Rio had thoroughly disturbed him. But Fisher and Martinez immediately nixed that idea. Kevin had a job outside of counting. They relied on the cards to pay rent. If they were going to continue as a team, they had to get right back on the horse. The three barrings were a frightening development, but they didn't change the overall profitability of the team. Even if they burned out all their favorite gambling spots, there were many more casinos to hit. In an effort to mollify Kevin's fears and rebuild the team's confidence, Fisher suggested they hit Chicago the following weekend. Kevin acquiesced, actually smiling as he thought about the quaint paddle boat on the Fox River. Maybe Fisher was right. Maybe a visit to the Grand Victoria was the perfect thing to set his mind at ease. Of the team, only Jill and Dylan opted to skip the weekend jaunt to Chicago. Unknown to Kevin at the time, the couple had gotten into a heated argument the night Kevin had been kicked out of New York, New York. Dylan had thought the barring was no big deal, but Jill was concerned that the team wasn't taking the casino's response seriously enough. She saw card counting as an exciting hobby, but not something that was worth any amount of risk, no matter how vague. She had a career to think about. Even a trumped-up charge was enough to put her in a bad light when applying for jobs at conservative corporate firms. Dylan, usually the more traditional of the two, thought she was overreacting. He wanted to join the team in Chicago, but wouldn't leave Jill alone at home for the weekend. In the end, he decided to give the weekend a miss. Arriving at Buckingham Steakhouse late Friday night, Kevin felt the old surge of adrenaline. As Fisher laid out the weekend plan, Kevin dealt himself cards at the table, forcing any remaining fears out of his body. This was his home turf, a casino he had been tearing up for over a year. Nobody could touch him here. Kevin drew the first shift as BP, and the team slowly worked its way onto the paddle boat. Kevin began wandering among the tables, waving at the pit bosses and dealers he knew by name. Everyone smiled when they saw him, and he began to feel more and more at ease. Tonight, he was Jackie Wong, the son of a neurosurgeon from Manhattan. He was rich, arrogant, and always grinning.